But I'm not doing that one. But all right. Let's see if this one's any good or not.
I went to a ball game and punched a guy in the face. I went snow sledding and wore my best blue jeans. Everyone knows that I listen to the Ramblecast.
Is that it?
I went to a funeral and shouted, fuck Spanos. I saw a scary face, thought it was Nick's mama. Everyone knows that I listen to the Ramblecast.
There you go.
Woo. Not bad at all. Not bad.
Jack's going to miss the fact that he missed that.
The best one ever. Yeah.
That was your best one ever, Nick.
Except for that little pause there where your knicker net.
Did the knicker net happen? I wondered why you said that.
Yeah. It did. It was perfect timing, too. Like, you're like, is that it? Boom.
Boom.
Drops the second verse, and it was game over.
Oh, cool. All right.
Well, oh, welcome Jack to the show. We've been podcasting for the last 3 hours.
You just missed Nick's best song yet.
I've heard it was pretty good.
It's already charted.
Mm-hmm. It's already charted?
Or someone sharded. Something like that.
Who sharded?
Guilty. Guilty.
Welcome to episode 145. Right? 145. We're getting up there.
145.
Well, you're getting, it's like a diamond anniversary or something.
You're getting up there.
I am also 45, ironically.
It's very early, mid-50s.
I am in the middle part of the mid part of my 40s. Thank you very much.
So what did I miss?
Excuse me.
What did you miss? Everything.
You missed all the shows, eating all the and football, Chris all belching.
Baseball. Yeah.
I heard Chris belch.
Okay. Wait, place your dick here. Oh my God. Jeez. Uncalled for, Jack. How graphic, what the hell? Jack.
That was from the leftovers. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I see how it is on the leftovers. It's really random.
Remember where Kevin had to place his dick on the... Anyway.
No.
I don't remember the glory hole scene. And then
he's.
Am I the only one that doesn't think that that was a great show?
Yes. Oh man, we just lost Fisher Protocol.
You know, it was like, I don't think it's as big a deal as a lot of people make it out to be. I enjoyed a lot of it, but then some of it was kind of like, it's a typical, you know, Lindelof show. And then, like, it's good, but it kind of leaves you frustrated at times. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Season 2 is probably best season of television.
Yeah, there's also moments with season 3 that I really like. I mean, I think season 1 was the only, like, kind of slow.
Look, I don't know if I can take the word from the guy that's still watching The Manifest.
we're done. We're done for now.
I fully admit how much of a fucking shit show it is.
Mm-hmm. I think Manifest La Brea, or La Brea, however you like to pronounce it,
La Brea,
is pretty much on par with Manifest. And
I wrote this down. Manifest is La Brea is a new Manifest. I've watched 2 episodes.
Okay, you haven't seen the third episode? Because I don't want to spoil you. The acting actually gets worse by the third episode.
Another one, huh?
I thought it was passable in the first episode, but by the third one, I'm like...
What's her name? Natalie Z, who I love in Justified, and she's great in she's the awesome. D4. It's got to be the writing. Because I absolutely hate her character. They're trying to make her more annoying than Kate. Can I go ahead and spoil people?
On La Brea?
La Brea. Her son is dying, but she won't leave the doctor she just met to take the antibiotics to her son who's dying. I go, come on, there's no parent in the world. Any parent.
It was the whole motivation of the first you know, like going out to get the medicine.
And I get that. And he even says, go on without me. No, I don't leave people behind. I go.
Other than your dead son.
Yeah. But why do they? There's too many characters on this show. I think the plot is pretty interesting. I think it's pretty
interesting. Yeah. I mean, the sci-fi aspect of it is cool. And there's some definite. It feels like the things that they're building to. Sometimes I feel like shows, I'm just like, come on, let's just shit and get on with it. Like,
right.
Like we know what's going to happen. We know, and sorry, Sherry, that if we're spoiling La Brea for you, I only say that in joking and jest because I can't take it that seriously. But for mild spoilers, though, they actually show you at the end, I think, of the first episode, they give you like a teaser trailer for the rest of the season. And they show one of the characters who you already know is a pilot being the pilot for a so-called rescue adventure.
And he's might be the worst actor on the show.
It shows in episode 3.
Is it me? Just me? I go, no, this guy is, I was terrible.
Like the other actor that was with him in a scene at some point, I was like, I think he's bringing that actor down. It's almost like you could watch it as a play for play of what not to do or how to be a better actor. Like,
can we say this, that this show should have been on like HBO or
if it had a higher caliber cast, perhaps.
That's what's killing it. I mean, literally, you have the cop lady who she was in an episode of Justified, but she's kind of like, I don't know. It's just there's too many fucking characters. You know, you should realize that when you're doing a show, not many shows can have an ensemble cast like Lost did right away, where you cared about all the characters right away, right?
Right.
I didn't care about Shannon.
True.
Well, I did.
But eventually you did, right? Right?
Well, I never cared about Shannon.
What I'm saying, though, is you bring characters along slowly. They're just trying. There's boom, 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 and the dad, he needs to go. He's terrible. I mean, he's a terrible actor. But I wonder if it's the writing, because, like I said, Natalie Z is a great actress,
mm-hmm.
and she's absolutely terrible in this.
I felt like she was carrying the scenes that I was watching, you know. But if you're gonna have a terrible written plot where all of a sudden it's like she's like, I'm more concerned about the doctor that I just met than my own son who's dying that needs this medication. So,
and the doctor, a great show.
The doctor's been in a lot of stuff.
You guys have sold us on Manifest. This is our Manifest.
Hey, man. I know. I respect it. I respect it.
You got to hate watch where you can.
I mean, was it Nick or was it you, Matt, that said basically they just stole Lost?
It's me.
Yeah, you, Nick. And I, the whole time I'm watching, I go, my God, they did. And they did it worse.
Yeah.
But I'm going to watch the third episode just because I'm almost like Chris now. I'm hate watching.
You hate watching, and just you have to see how it fucking turns out. Just
it, so it almost
feel
it
justified almost makes, in your hate.
It almost makes the other shows that I watch seem really, really great. Like when I put on, you know, Only Murders in the Building, I'm like, yes, okay, I can devour this show and I can really enjoy.
This new episode, though, I was kind of like, it's okay. It wasn't the best episode, but I enjoyed it.
I like the twists and turns that it's taking.
Yeah,
I still don't think
we're on a different show now.
We're on, Only Murders in the Building. Yeah, like I felt that was a red herring at the end of this. It's like, oh, because to me that's too obvious. Like I hate it when stuff like that is like, oh, we have a new suspect. Just like, yeah, but really, it's probably something else. Yeah.
Well, there might be a connection there, though. But
yeah,
similar as, and I'm trying to be as vague as possible for those that haven't seen it, but those that have seen it that know what we're talking about, I believe that it might reveal another crime as things have unfolded, but might not be the actual suspect that they're still looking for. you know, it, we could see another, you know.
Are we going to go for a Clue the movie type thing where, like, you know, J. Edgar Hoover walks in and Mr. Green goes, they all did it, you know.
Or Hulu releases five different ways that it ends.
Exactly, yeah. That's one way it could have ended.
So yeah.
Wait a minute. 2 + 1 + 2 + 1 is... No. Anyway, I love that movie, Clue. If it, you know, classic.
It's been a long time since I watched Clue.
It's so good. It's so good.
Hey, so you kind of got me thinking about this earlier. We were talking a little bit about... maybe it's before we started record, but talking about the music. I think you're talking about the Beatles. Were we talking about the Beatles for a second? Who are you talking about?
We were talking about John Lennon.
We were talking about John Lennon. So I started listening to recently. I heard an advertisement for it, so I looked it up. But Seth Rogen, not Joe Rogan, has a podcast out. That's it. What's that?
That's my Seth Rogen.
Oh. Yeah, it really. That's actually pretty good. He's got a new podcast called Storytime with Seth Rogen. It's got a couple episodes out. They're about a half an hour a piece, which is actually a quick and easy listen. But he brings people in to tell these crazy stories, and it's actually really entertaining. So the first episode, he brought in, I forgot her name, but she's a female comedian, African-American comedian, who tells a story about how she grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, right? And how, like, her personal struggles kind of went back and forth to the religion to wanting to be a comedian, which is completely against her religion, and tells a story about how she went to the movies and met Paul Rudd at a premiere for Inglourious Basterds, which she was only one in the theater with an arranged husband that she was supposed to marry, and that how that was like a pivotal point in her life where she really kind of like flipped the script and went away from her faith and
her career. So if Paul Rudd can look this good, not being religious.
But it's because him and Tom Cruise are vampires. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
But what's really cool, though, is that Seth Rogen, well, he knows these guys. So he actually brings them in for like a second segment of the podcast and asks it from their perspective. And then that story turns into another story about how Paul Rudd was like a fanboy for the Goo Goo Dolls. And he brings in the Goo Goo Dolls for the fourth. It was awesome. It was actually not the Goo Goo Dolls, but maybe it's the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah, it's the Goo Goo Dolls. Whatever. But it's a really cool podcast. But what reminded me, because you guys mentioned John Lennon earlier, the second episode dropped yesterday or today, and he interviews David Crosby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. And it's actually really, really fucking cool to hear about David Crosby and the Birds and how they were really just like a shit band that were just in the right place at the right time and no one knew how to play their instruments.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
And then how they end up meeting the Beatles and mm-hmm. David Crosby becomes George Harrison's best friend because he actually has real weed. it's just a real, and I kind of gave you the premise of the two episodes. It's actually really fun to listen to. And yes, you do get that Seth Rogen stoner laugh.
If you want to hear more David Crosby, my friend Steve Silberman does a podcast with David Crosby called Freak Flag Flying. And I think they're on their season two. They only do about six to eight episodes per year. But it's just kind of like because Steve Silberman wrote a book about the Grateful Dead called Skeleton Key. And he's also a huge David Crosby fan. And just, you know, they just talk about whatever they want. It's a pretty good podcast as well.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's kind of like a Rabblecast.
But it's more, yeah, it's more music focused and things like that. Because, you know, David Crosby's put out, what, five albums in the last six or seven years. So, yeah, it's more focused than a Rabblecast. Yeah.
I just did a Leftovers thing, and Ro asked, has a female ever been on the Rabblecast? And I was like going,
Colleen.
Yeah, Colleen. Well, she almost has ever officially been like actual guest. She's popped in while we've been talking.
And then
I don't think anyone's ever asked.
Fisher Protocol said you could be canceled. I said
for what?
You know, culture cancel, whatever it is. I said, well, I go. Well,
I don't think anybody's ever been a guest on the show.
Well, I don't think no one's ever asked to be a part of this fucking mess.
Originally, it was a married man show. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. And I always made the statement, no wives or girlfriends will ever appear on the Married Man show. But like I said, I go, I don't know. I said, you know, Matt runs a tight ship and you got to get everything by Matt. And Matt's, you know,
true.
Matt's a sexist and
really
he hates women. And, you know,
what? No, no, God, it's no.
True. It's true.
It is kind of a toxic environment behind the scenes.
What?
Yeah.
He's the John.
You're the one that can't remember the African American female comedian that was again. I mean, come on. At least I would have known their name.
See what I'm fucking talking about? Like,
and you know, Chris is always here to protect you. Always here, and you're the first, Matt. You always throw him under the bus every episode.
You do.
I never.
Not only do you throw him under the
bus. Well, I do actually.
You back it up and run him over again.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'm paying attention.
That's good. That's good.
What?
I was going to say you're the John Gruden of this.
Oh,
you know what's weird about the John Gruden thing is that if you watched him as a commentator on Monday Night Football, he never had a bad thing to say about anybody.
No.
But behind the scenes, clearly.
Well, since it's been brought up. And this is the way I look at it. Okay. Are we, because I know people are out there bashing him and stuff like this, but you know, you already have Adam Schefter got caught in this whole thing. Now, the NFL for some reason wanted to get rid of John Gruden. I think it's because what he was saying about Roger Goodell, or the Raiders said, hey, we want to get out of this contract.
That was the one spot on thing he said, though, was about Roger Goodell.
He was. Now, here's my. I'm not defending what he said. Obviously, you can't say those things, but this was like 10 years ago. Don't we want people evolving and being? Has he said it recently? Is what I'm trying to say. Is he said it? You know, but the NFL's also opened up themselves because now people want all those emails released, 650. Because you know, Snyder did more than what. He got a slap on the wrist for paying $10 million. For him, it's like me paying a dollar. But, you know, Ray Rice.
No, seriously, Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Video of him beating a woman in an elevator.
Well, we talked about the three stupid guys. We were suspended for
two games.
Yeah, we bashed it.
Not evicted from the NFL.
We bashed it then, and that people said, oh, you didn't see the other videos, what convinced people. I said, what are you talking about? The first video, he drags his fiance?
Yeah.
Just drags her out and drops her outside the elevator. I'm like going,
disgusting.
I said, he should have been suspended for life. But Goodell, yeah, you know, like I said, two games. But Goodell's a joke. But I think the NFL's opened themselves up to trying to get rid of
2014 versus 2021.
Yeah,
and progress, but I mean, geez, like it was awful. That whole Ray Rice thing was just awful, mm-hmm. and the response that they had, and then to the reaction, and I am not defending, Gruden in this. I really have no, I care two shits about John Gruden or what happens to his
career,
John Gruden.
No, what I'm saying what he said was, you know, you can't say that, but we. Aren't we? We're trying to change people's how they speak, right? In a more positive way, and you know that you don't drag people. You know, you don't. What am I trying to say here? You don't bash people for who they are. That's what we're working at. So what I'm saying is,
how we never do that here.
No, well, I'm saying like you know, with
always
like
do Maggie, that here.
Maggie the Magnificent a few years ago, I said cowgirls. Describing the Cowboys, and she sent an email saying, "I go." So I'm trying. There's certain things I try. Okay, and I haven't said cowgirls since I just said it right now. But there's things that you know we say. I probably should. I mean, there's things I've said in the past.
Keep going
on a podcast. I've said. I go. That. If,
so this know, is the crucial point in which Jack's inner conscience comes up and says. I've already lost my Twitter account. Am I going to lose my StreamYard?
Just keep digging this hole until something I say really gets me in trouble.
I just hope that it's you and not me tonight.
Well, no, what I'm trying to say is,
and also can you hear in Matt's voice, he's promoting the idea of you like eating shit right now.
I'm the Roger Goodell in this scenario here.
But what I'm saying is, I go, we all have crap out there.
Not me.
That we've said and done.
But Matt lays it all out weekly, naked on that stage.
I'm not saying that Gruden shouldn't have been punished or Gruden shouldn't have been kicked out. I mean,
Gruden just quit, though. He just said, fuck it, I'm fucked, I quit.
Well, because he had no – I mean, they were just going to keep releasing things until he quit. But I'm saying is we're supposed to be – this is supposed to be a learning period, right? We're supposed to be learning, okay, you can't – this is not right. This is not right. Whereas before we used to say whatever the fuck we wanted, right? Am I right? No, nobody wants to hat in the ring.
Well, I think there's just more accountability happening.
Yeah, I agree. But what I'm saying is,
perhaps that's because of the day and age in which we live, when you know everything is accessible to people, and there's different forms of media to have the conversations and host it. I mean, there's four fucking idiots talking about it right now on a podcast 17 people listen to, like, but
16,
17.
Jack offended someone. We lost a listener just now.
Oh, 16. Sorry. but there's also something to be said about, you know, the individual, right? So, like, it's Gruden is in a position in which he's like this. Your LA Chargers coach actually had a phenomenal comments about it today. I don't know if you heard him speak. You're putting up your middle finger at the Chargers and not his comments, I hope, right?
I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, he made a great point. Like he's in an exalted position of head coach, right? Like, you know, of head coach. He's a representative of not only a team but of the league.
Oh no, I agree. 100%.
And also the head coach of an openly gay, the first openly gay football player in the NFL. Agree. Right. So like he's in a position where they can't let that shit slide.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they should have let it slide. What I'm saying is what is he is does he still have those feelings today? I mean, at what point do we say, okay,
well,
you can go back 30 years.
So a couple of things. I mean number one, like,
I mean, we got players in the league that have beaten their wives.
No doubt.
Have done this and that, but people go, but you know what? They're good.
No doubt, but here's the thing. Like, so first of all, like, everybody should be held accountable for these actions, right? But we're not in a place yet in the society where people are doing that, right? And a lot of that is because these things are happening behind closed doors and no one's talking about it and no one's getting in trouble for it. But you have to start somewhere. You have to hold that level of accountability, that he has to be an example. He has to be an example because every team needs to have that level of standard in their clubhouse,
well, like,
or in their organization.
I have, again, I'm 100% behind that. But what I'm saying is, you know, even what's the coach of the Chargers, Staley,
yeah,
whatever his name is. I bet you if they went back and, you know, maybe he has something in his closet he shouldn't have said. I mean, it always
sure.
Seems,
open
always
it up then. I mean, if one person's going to have it opened up, everybody should.
I know Charger fans. I mean, I know ex-Charger fans.
Just, like, say, well, we've reached this point, so enough holding people accountable. We're just going to give everybody a pass. It's about progress.
I'm not saying giving a pass, but I'm saying if it's all about. We're trying to teach people, okay, you can't bully people. You can't do this. You can't.
This is the teachable moment. So other football coaches don't do this.
Yeah.
This is the teachable moment. They got to look at John Gruden and be like,
what I'm saying is Gruden's not the only one.
No doubt.
Okay. Gruden's not the only one. But same is true with the Me Too movement. You know,
yeah, it takes but what I'm saying is that what's going to happen is, I mean, it's just, there's going to be more out. How far do we? What I'm saying is, how far do we go back?
As far as it goes.
But another thing too, Jack. Your other question about, like, you know, this is 10 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah, the emails were from 10 years ago, but all accounts from people. Like, I actually was listening to an interview of some sports correspondent that wouldn't give up his anonymous source, but supposedly this is a behavior that is very well known with him currently and like he's actually not that great of a dude. Like he plays one on TV as an analyst, and he has this image, but like supposedly he's kind of a dirtbag.
But that's my point. If he is, that's who he is, then goodbye. But if he had, you know, it's like 10 years ago, this is who he was, but now he's not that way. Now he's like, okay, you know what? I was a dick back in 2011.
But apparently he is. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it. What I'm trying to say, say Matt got.
Oh no! Don't bring me in this. Bring me into this. We've Matt already lost like more than enough listeners with this.
Say Matt, talk. Who sent me several emails, I could probably release and get Matt in trouble.
Yeah, go ahead, do it. Mm-hmm. It's all about like stop talking about the nude models, Jack.
Well, it's the only reason I come to your class. At least I'm being honest. I'm just saying, if someone has literally changed,
all of the emails were Jack complaining that it was male models.
I probably would. I would.
Like, come on! I came here for a variety of figures, and I'm like, okay, well.
Anyway, that my point is eventually, I don't know.
I don't know where you're driving this train, but
I don't know where I'm driving this train. But like I said, I'm not defending what he said. I have no problem with him being gone. I've heard, like Brady Quinn said, was talking about Gruden, and he didn't have nice things to say about Gruden. And I said, you know, okay, like you said, Chris, he's probably still a dick. Well, if he is, then I'm glad he's gone. If he hasn't changed from his, you know, if that's who he is. Was in 2010 and same that way 2021. What I'm saying, if he's not the same guy, it's not Gruden. Say someone had, okay. Yeah. What I was saying, those were completely out of line, but in the last 10 years with the Me Too movement and everything else, I've learned that, okay, I can't say things like that. You know, like, you know, it's like, you know, locker room, whatever. The
sure. I think we're just not at that point because we still need to hold people accountable for their actions.
Stopping speaking negatively about multiple different like societies and groupings of people because someone got in trouble for it and there's a Me Too movement doesn't erase the fact that you said them, right? I mean, you can stop saying it, but you're going to be judged upon what your actual beliefs are.
I'm 100% behind that. Like I said,
yeah, because you gotta be, anybody would be insane to think that just because he doesn't say those things, he doesn't still currently believe in them. Right.
No, what he said was like I said, especially about, was it Sam? Was it Michael Sam?
Yeah.
Who was that was just ridiculous.
Fucking terrible.
Just bullshit. But like I said, he deserved to be canned. I'm just saying, if at what point, how far back do we go back, though? And if someone,
as
like
far
I said,
as it
and people, like I said, I've changed some of my. I mean, I was never I don't think I was ever a sexist, but I used to say, you know, like I said,
used to say?
Well, I said, like I said, cowgirls, and Maggie's. It was I said, okay, I will, and I've never said it since. Oh. And I see it all the time on Twitter, and I'm like going. Maggie would not be happy with that. And there's certain things I go, okay, I don't really subscribe to that. I'll do my best, but things that people really feel, like I said, I don't know if they're bad or good or just different things. Anyway, I'm done.
Well,
I did find it funny though. People were saying that, Let's find Dean Spence's emails.
Yeah, for real.
But they said, he doesn't have any friends, so who would he email to?
I mean, Chris started to hit on a point. And to me, it's a simple solution, and it should just be an NFL rule. Because when you're a professional athlete, you're not only representing your team, you're representing that town, you're representing the league. And there should just be a simple moral clause in every single contract, regardless if you're a player or coach or whatever, that if you do something that's against the law, you're actually committing a crime, or if you say something that is, you know, truly offensive like that, then you're gone. That's it. Like, and that's it. You're gone, and then you can't come back.
I agree 100%.
I mean, that's a simple solution to me.
How are they going to fire Walt Disney though? That will get to.
He's frozen.
We're going to get back to that after this commercial break.
Well, you had a going.
Hi, Mickey.
Don't fuck with the mouse, bitch.
Suck my dick.
You changed your name. You changed your name on the show, Jack. Put it as Hey. You were
like an hour ago. But I was going to say Stephen A. Smith. We all know who he is, right?
Was he on Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Commentator.
Fucking hell.
But he came out, you know, you had Shohei Ohtani, who's the, you know, people say he's the face of baseball. Stephen A. Smith came out and said, I don't want the face of baseball for someone that doesn't speak English. Dude didn't even get suspended. people just rolled right on. I mean, that was a ridiculous thing to say.
I'm not even connected to that. When was this?
Oh, it was at least 2 months ago.
Well, that was a ridiculous thing to say. So
that's terrible.
He came out and apologized. And said, okay, it was a stupid thing to say, and he didn't get suspended.
Well, again.
Well, see, but here's the thing, though, right? Is that my hope here is the actions that the NFL is taking / Raiders organization are taking would be like a starting point.
Yeah.
So other companies and organizations like ESPN would consider moving the dial,
pushing progress a little bit further so that these things don't happen.
And that's a big reason why it's such a fucking problem today in general and across many different, you know, forms and different careers and career paths and in industries or whatever. It's because no one's being held accountable. It's something that gets like brushed under the rug or whatever. So hopefully something like this with the NFL taking note, whether or not they had a grudge with Gruden, who knows, but
I think it was definitely
it's a showing of what
it was
should
definitely
be.
Personal with Gruden. But I think, like I said, with the St. Louis lawsuit that they're, you know, St. Louis is suing the NFL because when Kroenke moved, he didn't do all the right things. He broke the NFL's own rules on moving the team. I mean, that's really what he did. That's why San Diego can't sue, because technically Spanos did the right things before he moved. I mean, it was all bullshit, but we don't have a leg to stand on because he did technically the right things. He had a vote for a stadium that was never going to get passed. But now that the NFL's worried that all these, you know, sure they went after Gruden, but now they're sweating it out because now what's in all these, you know, Dan Snyder should have been, basically he should have been forced to sell the team, the Washington football team. But he only had to pay a $10 million fine. And this is what happened. It was the things that Gruden sent. Anyway, we'll see what happens, right? I think I think the NFL fucked themselves.
We'll see.
It's not the first time that they haven't fucked themselves. I mean, remember them trying to hide all of the concussion protocols?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other like can of worms, you know, or the players that committed suicide because of.
I was not that close, Nick.
So I'm curious about, Chris, your name on the show tonight. It says Squid. What is it?
Squid-a-goo.
That's what I was going to bring that up as well, if that's what he's referring to.
A la King of the Hill /
mashup
with Squid Game.
Okay. Yeah. So we are talking about Squid Game here.
Squid Game. Yeah. The phenomenon that's caught the world by storm for the last
couple weeks. How many of us have watched the entire show? Okay. So just Jack. Okay. I'll reject him from this. He is no longer part of us.
What?
Wow.
I'll leave him in here. So
Jack just got dizzy. Yeah.
So are we
Gruden had better you know.
Are we going to get into spoiler territory here? Should we put a spoiler warning?
I don't think we should spoil it. Okay. I think we should talk generally in a way that people who are listening to us can also either enjoy or dislike.
It is a show that, you know, I definitely heard about, and I was just like, okay, let's go ahead and check out what is all of the fuss about.
Yeah. So. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was one of those games I knew right off it was kind of a ripoff of Battle Royale, or at least in the same vein as Battle Royale, which is a Japanese movie for anyone who's never seen it, which was what The Hunger Games ripped off. But it's one of those show. It's one of those series.
It's in that vein.
It's in that vein, yeah. It's one of those, you know, it's one of those game show survival type things where, you know, like all these people are thrown in and some will be killed, some will not be killed, and, you know,
life or death.
Yeah, life or death.
Can I ask a question? I have absolutely, I've heard about it because it's obviously it's everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
What is it a game?
Yeah.
So, it's a really interesting take. And it's, as we get into the explanation of that, I think that's the allure to this show is that you, if you dare to even think about being put in the positions of these people in the story, it's fucking terrifying. And I think that's why this series was so good. So Jack, the base of the story is that there is this super elitist group of people that have the means and the resources to create this crazy game in the middle of nowhere.
We're like a paper company.
They take people who are destitute, down on their luck, that really need money, and come and compete.
Paper company.
And it's the way that the show pans out. I know this is not a really necessary spoiler.
Is it real?
No,
it's not a real TV. Fiction. No,
it's a fictional story.
Yes, they're committing mass murder.
But it's an interesting. What's that?
Who wouldn't watch it?
Well, yeah, I mean, to Jack's
Running
point,
Man.
To Jack's point, yeah, it does kind of remind me of Running Man, and there is a weird kind of voyeuristic aspect to the show, and any show like this where you're watching a game unfold that has visceral reactions where you're like, oh my god, but you are kind of also complicit because you continue to watch it.
So it's not real.
It's a fictionalized series. Yes,
but I'm just saying that because you're watching it, and even though it is fictional,
it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. It's literally the number one.
I know. I said it. Because people said it's like this year's Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger King or Stranger Things. It's definitely the fad of the year for sure.
I said, well, Tiger King was real. I said, is this
right? No, it's the number one like caught on thing, like Tiger King, right? But like, it's a crazy story that I actually didn't put two and two together until Matt, you mentioned right there when you said you're watching the show. It's so terrible, but then you realize you yourself are actually keep watching the show to see what's gonna happen.
Because you after sick. The first episode, you're like, okay, that was like intense and brutal. Yeah. But I kind of want to see what comes next.
Yeah.
Well, like to me, people are dying. To me, the intrigue though is like, what's the next game? I always want to know what's the next game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But all right. But you also know that people will die in the next game, so there you are complicit in wanting to watch.
Well,
death.
Shouldn't it be real?
So, John Gruden. So
it sounds
take
like
all
it's,
your people
sounds like
you
it's
hate.
Fair to say. It
Forget
sounds
my
like it's
emails,
fair to say that
should it be real?
Should it be real?
It sounds fair to say that I believe that we all have a positive review of this.
Yes.
Show,
yes?
Yeah. I give it two thumbs up. Except for the last probably 10 minutes.
And yeah, then I know.
It's yeah.
I felt the same way. I definitely two thumbs up for me too. Like one of the interesting things about it because it is in Korean, right? So it's a Korean made show.
You can watch it dubbed.
So you can watch it dubbed, or you can watch it with you could watch it with the
subtitles.
I reversed it. Yes, the subtitles, but listening to it dubbed.
Is it South Korea or North Korea?
South.
But they do mention North Korea.
Don't know.
North Korea would be real, right?
Well, they mention North Korea.
No, the girl, one of the girls was a defector from the North.
Right? Oh, okay.
So that's how you know it's in South.
Okay.
Well, to be fair,
do
they go to the swamp?
She was in the South, but you don't know where the games are held.
Right.
No, you assume it's held on an island somewhere. You know, in the Korea area.
I thought the man with the golden gun Island, honestly.
I'm ready to back in to this Bond. Podcast and go see it.
It's really good.
It's really good.
It was very addictive because I binged it in three nights, basically. There's 9 episodes. And to Nick's point, there is kind of almost a peak to the show that comes a little bit before the end of the show, I would say. Mm. So the climax or the resolution.
It climax too early?
Well, it's because...
I mean, that's like Game of Thrones and the fact that like maybe the episode before or... Yeah, I see what you're getting
at. Because like to me, the season one wraps up at that peak. And then what you get in the next 10 minutes is almost... You know,
post-coital?
It's a coda, kind of.
Second season.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, unless there's a second season, which, because of its popularity, you know there's going to be a second season.
Oh, it's got to be.
But it almost has, like, a John Wick moment at the end of season one to where it's like, everything is resolved. You know, he can get it, or he or she can get his life back.
I thought you were going to say something else, but that...
No, he or she...
It's going to get it up, but dang.
No. So I want to wait. Keep going, Nick.
You've from conversations you've had with all these other characters, you want everything to be right, and in a way, it is. But then all of a sudden, he pulls like a John Wick moment where it's like he doesn't quite do a John Wick of like I'm coming for all of you. It's like it's one of those like what the hell, man? Like you know, and.
How many episodes? 10?
9. So Jack, you asked if there's going to be a second season, and they definitely open up for a possibility, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen here. Because what's also interesting is like the story about the making of the movie is actually very, very cool too. So the director, who happens, I believe, is the lead character in the film, I think, maybe not, the writer, director, whatever. Has been trying to make this series for like 10 years.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
So like it started off like a long time ago, and he was working, got to a point where like no one was buying it and no one was going to put it up and create a show out of it. He lost all of his money. One of the stories was he actually had to sell his like $675 laptop just to be able to pay his bills.
Wow.
And like he lost teeth from like stress. I don't know how that happens. And then all of a sudden
Stress is a bad thing. I'll just tell you that.
And all of a sudden Netflix comes in and gives him a deal. And he's now like the most popular man in the world.
And this story is not rare. I mean, there's a lot of stories in Hollywood where it took 10 years to get this. I go, I just don't have the patience.
Yeah.
You're never going to get that pleasure ranch.
I know. I've already said forget it.
I think another thing that's a kind of a trend also, like with series that are hits, is that can it be memeable and can you have very specific things that you can sell from the show? Because think about like when the first thing I ever saw of it was the card with the circle, square, and the triangle. Yeah. And you immediately think, oh, it's some kind of PlayStation thing. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, it's not. You know, it's not a place. But like that, and then all the costumes that they wear that are very basic and simple, it's like it's immediately in your brain of that, you know, the circle, square, and the triangle. And you're like, oh, okay. And so, because there's even custom Legos out now of the guys in the red with all the guns and the, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to get those now, you know.
And there were some definite moments like where I thought the story was going to go in one way.
The cookie game right now is like one of the biggest like games now people are playing.
So oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to watch, Jack.
You'll
have to watch. But
it's a cookie game. Yeah.
I will just say that like there were certain things as it was getting to the last couple episodes where I thought the show was going in one direction, or I thought certain characters might take on another mantle or pick up a mask, or you know, I just was like, oh, I bet this will happen. And I was so glad that I was proven wrong. There were some surprises that, you know, other viewers might have like saw those surprises or twists coming. I did not. So I was glad that it kind of kept things fresh.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You haven't even watched the show, so you're not even observant at all.
Well, I probably would have figured it out.
The one twist.
We'll see. Okay, come back.
There's only two things I called the marble game, and I had my suspicions about who returns later on because it's the one person you don't see killed. Right. And you're like, Richard Dawson. That's kind of weird.
You're right on that account.
Yeah.
Jack. It is Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Everyone thought he was dead. And he started kissing everybody.
That is so creepy when you go back and watch the old Wheel of Fortunes. Family Feuds. And he just kisses everybody. You're like, oh, it's so gross.
Yeah.
Wants Newkirk?
You wonder why so many people have cold sores, you know, these days.
Can you imagine?
It's time to play the feud.
Richard Dawson got back in the day, though. I mean,
some penicillin.
Yeah. So, I mean, he probably single-handedly was responsible for the spread of AIDS. So
I just sent you guys, and for those who are watching at home, I just sent out a meme to the group. I got a kick out of this one before.
Closed
there
it.
There we go. Yeah. I'm never drinking again versus me drinking again.
Yeah.
That was
so interesting in that. His facial expressions in that first episode where he's doing that red light, green light, when he is out there, he's enjoying it. And you're like, is this man nuts?
Right.
Oh, shit, I froze.
Yeah, you're good. We can hear you.
Now I want to watch it. Now
you're going to love it, man. It's great.
I thought it was because a lot of people were saying, I'm just going by people on Twitter that are saying, oh, it's gross. I can't watch this.
It is definitely violent, and there are some graphic aspects to it. So for listeners
is it like Death Race 2000 where you get points for killing people, running them
just
over?
We're not going to tell anymore. You just got to watch it. You
Watch fuck it. Off, man.
There was a nice Ted Lasso Squid Games matchup that I'd seen as well. So.
Did everyone watch the finale of Ted Lasso?
I did. I caught up on all of Ted Lasso. So I really enjoyed this season. So it sucks.
We're going to wake up tomorrow morning and not have any
spoilers for Ted Lasso.
Spoilers for Ted Lasso. Skip it. So is Nate Fredo?
Yeah.
I think the bigger question is what did they have planned for season three? Because initially the writers had planned for just three seasons and that was it. So with the popularity of Ted Lasso, will it continue beyond three seasons?
I hope they stick with their plan. I hope they quit when they're on top because it's such a perfect show. Chris, have you seen it?
I could still see it doing three seasons because the series is about issues. You know, like people have issues or problems and they need to get resolved. And you see how Ted has come in and fixed a lot of people within this organization. And then now you have such a catalyst going into season three of Nate with the ex-husband of the woman owner. And you see now, especially with Nate, where all this is coming from, you know, in that he was a nobody in season one and Ted built him up. And then you see in season two how he was raised. He never gets any satisfaction from his father. Nothing is ever good enough for his father. And so he looked at Ted as a father figure. And so now he's looking for that reassurance again. And he's kind of stupidly has this false sense of confidence in himself right now. But it's going to be even worse for him.
Why is his hair growing gray?
Yeah.
So quickly, throughout the whole
what's interesting
season.
About that is apparently the actor – that's his real hair.
Oh.
And throughout I'll have to go back and check. I didn't verify this, but supposedly at least in season two, his hair is actually progressively getting gray.
Yes, it is. For sure.
That's interesting how they did that, right? Yeah. I'd like to go back maybe to season one and see if that was even a factor.
I did notice his hair was getting grayer.
I just rewatched season one with my wife, and it's amazing to go back to season one now and see some of the little storylines that are in season two. You see how they connect, certain characters, you know, Sam and Rebecca, there are certain characters that you see meeting or having these conversations, and you're like, oh, okay. Like I see you were planting those seeds then. So, cool stuff. And did anybody else get Darth Vader vibes or like Empire? You know, like they made some Empire Strikes Back references at the very beginning of this season.
When Nate said to Ted, "You're my father."
Season two is chocked full of movie references.
Yeah.
Because even when the shrink leaves, even the quote she says, like when he gives her the note and she says goodbye on it, she says, "Son of a bitch stole my line." That's, yeah, you know, that's from Good Will Hunting. I mean, there's so many in the season, you'll catch them and you're like, oh, that's from, you know, just hear the lines.
But I had a question. When Nate is screaming at Ted, where Ted goes, you know, kind of confronts him at halftime.
Right.
Is he screaming at Ted because of Ted, or is he screaming at Ted because he's saying what he can never say to his dad?
I think that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Because Ted didn't deserve it.
No, he didn't.
And I give the actor credit because you know how people take this thing serious. You know, they think the show's real. I'm sure he's getting a lot of hate mail right now.
Well, and credit to the writers, because they also do something in that very last episode, Jack, that to your point, there's a moment where a character comes in and is saying something to Ted. And even Ted says, I don't think he was saying that to me.
Right, right.
You know, it's a clue. And there, you know, to Nick's points, there's almost like a codex or a coda within the show that kind of lets you like unlock certain aspects of the show. So
it's a perfect show. And I, like I said, I hope they don't for money, like Walking Dead,
Walking Dead, they always knew that they were going to keep going. And, you know, Jack, you and I went through Walking Dead, and I was thinking about this honestly today. I was taking out the trash at my work and I looked at the dumpster.
And you remembered Walking Dead.
And you thought of me.
No.
I was dealing with trash. I immediately thought of The Walking Dead and Jack.
I immediately thought of my time with Jack and doing sports talk with stupid guys, and then Walking Dead with three stupid guys.
Nice.
And Mike, who is joining us in the chat. Thank you very much. But I was looking at the dumpster, and I was looking at the bottom of the dumpster. Spoilers alert for The Walking Dead.
Oh, fucking spoil them.
But I thought that moment that the show jumped the fucking shark. And I thought, that's the moment. That's the moment where they lost me. They lost
too.
So
where Glenn was underneath the thing surrounded by zombies.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
And the next week he's in the dumpster.
You cannot fit underneath a dumpster. No. You cannot. There's no way. There's no actual physical way
Glenn was pretty thin.
Unless you have some magic mushroom from Alice and you shrunk down, you cannot fit under dumpster. Look at a dumpster and just look. They can't fit under. But
the thing is, how did he get in the dumpster being surrounded by zombies who are not going to give up because it's this fucking show.
Anyway. Well,
Chris, you're muted.
I love how we just went on like a mini tangent rant about how fucking shit Walking Dead is.
So hopefully, Ted Lasso, which is the perfect show. I mean, it literally is the perfect show. I mean, it's a fun show. You have like again, but Nate, my God, I want when he was yelling at Ted, if I'd have been in the room, we'd have been brawling. I would have been ripping out his gray hair because I would have been punching him in the face.
And what's interesting is I finally got my wife to watch it.
Oh, really?
And I've been talking about it. I've been like, for the last, you know, year and a half or whatever.
Really? She wouldn't
watch it last time.
I know we got you watching it.
It's not that she wouldn't watch it. It's just that like she doesn't watch shows. Like that's like not, she doesn't do any of that. Like she doesn't sit down and like have a cadence of shows that she watches. But I finally got her to watch it, and then she was like, I fucking love this show. Like, so she's like five episodes in with me and watching season one, and she's
nice.
She's absolutely hooked. So she just never has time to watch
TV. Well, I think I told this with Cindy when we first started. I said, she goes, I don't like sports shows. I go, it's not about sports.
It's not about sports.
It's about relationships and everything like that. I go,
the most sporty thing, and it's still one of my favorite moments from season one, is the Ted Lasso special. I, as a fan of soccer, as a fan of American football, as a fan of European football, watching football players, soccer players perform an American football,
what the fuck are you talking about?
set piece. The set piece in the last episode of season one is one of the most like amazing things to be able to see soccer players perform a football play, an American football play, and just to see that play out. It just, it's fun. I mean, I've watched a lot of soccer games. They don't do that. And it's just, it's fun funny to watch.
I am worried about Ted Lasso's emails.
That'll come out in season four.
Since y'all said that, you know, I wonder if, to me, ending it after three seasons is fine, you know, and I could make a prediction of how it could go. You know, I've just, I think Ted will win the Premier League.
And they're going to win the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, the whole fucking thing at the end of season three. And then Ted, through some kind of.
Sam's going to marry Rebecca.
No, I think Ted will accept himself and all the issues he had, which probably led to his failed marriage. And he'll finally return home to be with his kid, you know,
and
be okay with it. And then I think
Beard.
I don't know about Beard. I don't know what happened with him. Maybe he'll just find some. Because I mean, you look how many times he's broken up and gotten back together with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict the final scene. The final scene of
the last. I think Kaylee and or Keely.
I think I'm going to predict that the final scene, like the Jack opening up his eye of Lost to Ted Lasso, is going to be a final shot of Ted Lasso's son playing soccer, and he is the coach.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good ending.
Yeah, I like that.
That's how it's going to end.
His ex-wife has her husband there.
Don't do that. Maybe. Don't do that. She's
seeing someone else.
She's clearly seeing someone else.
But I think Keely and what's his name?
She was in Better Off, Ted.
Oh.
Keely and who?
I think Keely and her boyfriend will break up, you know, and they'll get back together within the next season.
Setting that up.
Yeah, they're setting it up.
Oh, yeah, because she's got her own thing, and he wanted to go on that cruise for 6 weeks.
And she said no. Yeah.
She's going to have a fling with Jamie Tartt.
Clearly wants to.
Dude, absolutely going to happen. It's telegraphed.
Jamie has changed. He's a different person. Right?
He knows how to pass and make a pass.
But let's face it, Jamie was an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not an asshole anymore.
It's about character growth and change, and I don't know where it's going to go for Roy Kent, but he has season two definitely has made him my most favorite character.
Oh, for sure.
He's great. So. I loved him when on the sports show, because that's what you want.
That's what
on a sports show, you want people to fucking tell the truth, not he fucking sucks.
What the fuck do we know? We're just sitting here making comments. They're the ones out there playing. They know what's going on. We don't know shit.
You know? One of his best scenes though is in the Christmas episode when he's like leaning over trying to reassure his niece. He's like, "It can't be that bad." let me smell it.
Oh, right.
Oh fuck! I think you're dying.
I do like that, but I also like it when. I like the part where he tells her like, so we're not getting fucking ice cream, and then they're getting ice cream. It's so good.
Or when he goes to the teacher, because Sherry mentioned maybe he'll probably end up with the teacher. They're really setting it up that way.
Yeah.
Well, for half an episode.
He admitted to Keely though that he stayed there with her and he didn't know why. He was admitting something, a feeling that he had internally to Keely, and just the same as Keely was admitting.
Are Keely and Roy not destined to be together because they're just two different people?
I don't know.
No, I think
she's more out. She's more outgoing. She's more, you know, party, more this. Whereas Roy's more.
Yeah, but I mean, opposites attract. But also, you look at Roy has always had his life in the spotlight, and now it's fading. Whereas in Keely, has always been kind of in the back, you know,
because they did talk about how he wasn't in any of the photos,
right? And that's what I mean. And so now her star is on the rise, and so it's going to be how is she adjusting to that, you know? Whereas most people would probably fall or defer to his opinion. Will she get an ego from this? Have people blow hot air up her ass like a lot of people do when they're becoming famous.
It's funny because in season one, there's a comment where he makes about like, I don't want my fucking picture taken. Like he doesn't want to be in the limelight. He doesn't want that exposure at all. So
when he returns as coach, which I think is a Christmas episode, right? Am I right?
I think the Christmas episode is a bottle episode. It doesn't. Well,
whenever he returns as coach, it's one of my favorite episodes of all time because the way he marches and the crowd just goes, it's great. Because I can remember back in San Diego when Don Coryell was the coach of the Chargers, was the coach of the Aztecs, and the Aztec Stadium for basketball is literally like it's like a 500 steps up, and when Don Coryell was walking up the aisle we were in, everybody stood as he walked up, stood and applauded. It was almost the same kind of thing because Don Coryell was loved, and the Chargers fired him, of course.
I think Mommy Mike makes a very excellent point. Is John Gruden going to be on TV now telling us his exact thoughts?
No.
That's a little too spicy.
No, we don't
we're
not there yet for John Gruden.
As the English football announcers say, it's, you know, excuse the fruity language.
So, hold on. Speaking of that, the English football announcers, what's with their fucking microphones?
Yeah, Cindy, I know. They've got Cindy the little thing like, on the she cover.
Goes, why do they do every episode? I go, I don't know. She goes, how do you not know? I go, why would I know? I go, I the only thing I'm thinking of, it's so loud.
The reason Jack wouldn't know is he's always like 12 feet away from the mic, so...
I don't know why they're so, but no, I the only thing I'm thinking is it's so loud and they're not in a booth. They're in the open. So maybe they have to do that so they can be heard.
So it's called a lip ribbon microphone, also known as the commentator's lip. It's a type of ribbon microphone designed specifically for your mother, news reporters and sports commentators.
I'm just muting Jack.
For noise reduction like and frequency like response.
To eat chips for noise reduction reasons.
They're called crisps.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. How about your fries there? It looks like they're baked, more baked than Chris.
Nope.
He's not baked. Chris, you know him because he's baked. He's not baked.
It's so sad. He's got like some release day tomorrow, so we got to end the show early.
Speaking of which, he's got, yeah.
Speaking I like how Chris is like, bing, yes.
Jana.
What's he eating? Gummies? Oh.
What?
What? They actually sell these in North Carolina now.
What?
No, that's Delta 8. So that's, it's technically not,
oh, it's not THC.
Recreational.
It's
Delta 8, which is, it's like a different, you know, so CBD is kind of a strain.
Oh, it's just the oil.
Delta 9, Delta 8. Delta 8 does not have all the DNA.
Rewrites it, so that's 5G.
Those are good.
It's not perfect, but it has helped me sleep a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they definitely do work.
I guess because I took those along with some melatonin. And Cindy said, I
will. Melatonin?
Whatever it is.
I got melatonin on my skin.
Jack just created the sleep cancer.
I know.
He's insure.
Sleep cancer.
Sleep cancer. That could be a shirt. Anyway, so she said,
not a toma.
So I guess I woke up and she woke up and she said, you were just screaming, standing up. I go, okay. So yeah,
you're screen sleeping now.
Screen sleeping.
Too many melatomers, man. Knock that shit out.
Melatonin, and this don't mix really well together.
Okay, good to know. Don't mix your melatonin.
But no, I am happy though. You can buy these in the here in North Carolina.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ironically, they are full of Delta variants.
You gotta on getting medical marijuana or recreational marijuana in the state of North Carolina.
I'm working on it.
You are? No.
Your life would be so much better if you could just smoke a joint and go to bed.
Like I said, it doesn't take away the back pain.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous, but it does help me sleep. The only problem is sometimes I get so. My mind doesn't shut off anyway. So now it's like, I told Cindy, I go, it's like 100 things going in my mind.
Gotta quit taking acid, man.
That explains why we can't close out the show.
What? We got lots of stuff to talk about.
No, I mean like with Jack.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay, Nick, what else you got to talk about?
No, nothing really.
Mr. Squidly Goo has got to go.
Oh, that's right. Well, we got another 10 minutes, I think.
Okay, hey,
I got a complaint.
The other, well, no,
I got a green line down my phone.
You got a what?
Go ahead, Nick.
So, yeah, I know I'm a little late, you know, because I just got Apple TV, but I did finish For All Mankind season 2. Holy shit, that was such a great ending for season 2.
Yes, yes, it was.
I couldn't get over how good it was. I mean, just on my just tense the whole fucking episode.
It was good. Yeah. That show is severely underrated.
Yeah,
I think the thing is I've watched it, but I can't get past certain aspects of season 1. I love Ronald D. Moore. I love all aspects of this alternate, universe with the space race.
Fucking
I don't know why, but like I got stagnated out in season 1. So my goal is to go through and watch the rest of For All Mankind. So
it's good. I really enjoyed season 1 and season 2. I started again with season 1 because season 1 came out so wild.
We lost Robot
Nick. Back and pushed all through it and. Sorry.
That's okay.
Great. No, yeah, great, great.
Oh, Mr. Roboto.
Dodo.
I've actually...
Where I need it to.
I'm sure when the singing part comes on, he doesn't freeze.
I've been watching The Morning Show on Apple TV.
So that's the one show I haven't watched yet. I'm going to start the other one, the newer one that just came out too, I think.
I just want to see...
That's it, yeah.
Was it C's or I's?
C. Yeah.
C's, but I gotta finish up For All Mankind.
You're gonna like it, Jack. Like
there is so much stuff to watch right now. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So much stuff. It's good. I mean, I was just saying before, it's gonna be kind of sad waking up tomorrow and be like, oh, I get to watch the next episode of shit. Never mind.
Well, what's nuts is season 1 came out in December. Season 2 came out in what, July?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, and you wonder if like, will they be able to do it every 6 months, or now we're going to wait a whole year? You know,
probably. Fucking COVID,
Fucking COVID. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! COVID. Don't even get me started, okay?
So Sherry's in the chat says, "Oh my god, I've tried this 2 times to start that show. If you guys are saying it's good, I believe you, and I'll try it a third time. Definitely do."
I don't see why you what got you hung up on not liking it.
It does have some slow parts.
Yeah,
it just didn't grab me and keep me.
Kind of use your imagination, because what they're telling you is different from what actually happened.
What really happened?
No, I'm good with that.
You're not. No, you don't like women in space. I get it, Matt.
I lost
Jack again. It's so weird. He's just making these anti-women comments on the show. We can't take it anymore. We've read his emails. It's oh my gosh, people.
Yeah.
It's amazing that, oh shit, he's back.
That's
an abuse of power.
That's an abuse of power. You can't do that to me. I've got rights, I know.
The only error I really caught in For All Mankind is the woman that works in the tower, you know, that runs the program. In season 2, she has a plaque, like it's like a quick like overview of her house, and it says, "Congratulations on 20 years with NASA." And she says in season 1, or maybe early season 2, that she started in 1966. However, another clip they show at the beginning of season 2 is that Reagan got elected president in 76. So it's like, well, that would put it at 86, and yet Reagan is still president. So it's like,
the rules.
That's not possible.
What would have happened if they could have got Ford to step aside?
Well, that's the thing. It's because like in the show, Nixon only has one term, and then Teddy Kennedy becomes president from 72 to 76, then Reagan from 76 to whenever.
And that Teddy got fired because he was teaching people how to drive.
Yeah. It's the worst DMV.
Awful.
Who wants to go for a ride in Teddy's car? Who wants to go for a ride in Teddy's car? Oh, no, there's a bridge. Oh, no, that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, and I am going to start Why the Last Man probably tomorrow.
I think the better question is how the last man?
Okay. Why does it have to be last man?
Why can't it be the last woman? Yeah, well, watch the show and find out. So that's I know. I think Ethan was in the chat earlier, was mentioning about why the last man enjoying it. I think this last episode, I don't know if it's because I've been watching La Brea, but there was a little bit of acting there that I was like, ooh, that kind of fell flat. Like Han Solo saying,
The show is full of shit acting.
What's so the worst part?
Why the last man, and it hurts to say this because I fucking love the story so much, the new manifest for me. Like it's actually that bad. But I was such a big fan of the comic back in the day, so I have to watch it. But
I put it on, and then I enjoy the fact that I have another show after it that's a little bit stronger. So, and if you too have not started watching Only Murders in the Building, please do.
I'm going to catch up.
Skip Why the Last Man and just watch that show. It's a lot shorter, and you'll burn through it.
Why the Last Man.
Yeah, and we absolutely haven't talked about this either. Matt and I have briefly mentioned it. The Star Wars, which is an animated show.
Why was Jack doing the dick mouth thing?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You don't have to do the dick mouth.
Yeah, we just know that.
But you chose to.
I'm just saying that's what he sounded like.
Okay.
Yeah, but Matt and I were Matt and I were going to do a future Onan Baruz, maybe Chris.
I'd love to.
About Star Wars Visions, which is do three episodes at a time. The first episode I absolutely freaking loved.
Yes.
The second episode I was like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
I don't like the flow in which they chose to put these in.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that they gave them carte blanche to do whatever creative, stories they wanted to do. So,
when's The Mandalorian coming back?
Not till 2022.
Yeah.
What?
So you'll get a Book of Boba Fett comes out late December.
Post Christmas.
Not till 2022.
Well, Book of Boba Fett is supposed to be.
I don't give a fuck about Boba Fett.
Okay, but Book of Boba Fett is supposed to be kind of like a bridge show. So it'll have. We're supposed to see The Mandalorian in it. As well as some other characters.
That's Disney bullshit.
Okay, well, that's what we're getting.
I'm calling Disney out. Fuck off.
Okay, you don't have to watch it.
No, but I want to watch The Mandalorian.
Okay, well, you're going to have to wait for Mandalorian.
If you have any idea how much money this fucking whole cadence is absolutely making Disney, it's crazy.
Like, I'm sure it's a lot of money, but it doesn't make me happy.
So much.
Chris, you should watch Visions, though. Check it out. It's a fun watch. It's a good lunchtime watch because they're only 15 minutes, 22 minutes.
Nice. I'll check it out.
You can fit them in wherever
can. If I watch it, can I be on Owen Bruce?
I don't know. You're kind of like an anchor that breaks up an oil pipeline under the water.
Well, I wasn't going to be on it. Anyway.
Oof.
Yeah. Wait, I'm
too real.
I'm just doing the environment.
I'll try a different metaphor.
For Matt, too soon.
If you think Matt runs a tight ship here, you should see him on Onan Baruz.
Ooh, I do. Yeah, it's like we got to cook something. Well, we got to cook it now.
A tight ass.
One tight ship that I'd like to run is to allow Chris to leave early. You know, I want to make sure that he has a moment so he can get to bed. I understand that. What? Why are you shaking your head? I know you. You need.
All right, Chris. Red Sox or Astros?
Stros.
Sorry.
I'm a terrible Boston Red Sox fan.
Do you see that female Sox fan that was in the stands and was drunk and she's trying to sit in this seat? I think it was at Fenway. She was trying to sit in the seat and this woman keeps going, honey, being super nice, honey, you're in the wrong seat. And she's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And she keeps arguing with her.
That's a Dodgers game, I think.
Was that Dodger? Yeah, it was a Dodger. She was a Sox fan, though. And then she just hawks up the biggest, just like, shit.
Not only was she drunk, she was in the wrong fucking stadium.
That's,
That would never happen in Fenway.
Mm.
One other show. One other show that I just remembered, if you haven't checked out the New Wonder Years The New Wonder Years. If you have Hulu, it's a really cute show.
Wonderful.
It is good. I like it. I really enjoy it. It's a
show that highly little help from your friends.
Have you seen it yet, Jack? It's worth it. It's probably like the
he's too busy eating his crisps.
I know. I'm hungry. Anyway, if you enjoyed the original Wonder Years and you want something that's a little bit more contemporary. And,
is Fred Savage?
The only reason why we watched the original is because the wind.
But he is
hot.
A producer.
But come on.
What's interesting is that network. Is it who? What network?
It's on ABC, but it's
ABC's got like a series of shows in which they have pretty much the entire cast of the Wonder Years is now on a show.
Oh right,
really?
Yeah. So you got Fred Savage, but I don't know if they're cameos or he's on one show. The dad from the original Wonder Years is on one show.
You're not talking about the Goldbergs, are you?
Maybe it might be. I'm not
one
sure.
One of them is on the Goldbergs.
And then Danica McKellar is in another show that's on there. Like I forgot what it was, but they're all in their own, you know, resurgence now. It's weird.
I don't know.
Yes, Wonder Years is on ABC, but if you have Hulu, you can watch it, Randy. I'm shocked you don't have an email.
It's the 90s right now. Is that the Wonder Years? It's based in the 90s.
No, it takes place in the 80s. Or no, oh, the 70s. It takes place in the late 60s. It still takes place in the late 60s.
Really?
Yeah, but it focuses on an African-American family. So
I thought it was in the 80s.
Nope. No.
I think originally I think they were planning on doing the 80s, but then they changed their mind.
It's 60s, so. And
there is going to be that 70s spinoff show, though, now called, I think, that 90s show. And I think it's going to be Eric and Laura Prepon's child visiting Red. And I saw
something about the grandparents, you know.
It's going to be the grandparents, yeah. But with the new cast of kids.
Not going to have what's his name on it?
He's way too big for that show now.
Okay.
Even though his acting is.
Oh, Topher Grace is the worst.
No, I thought you were talking about the other guy.
Danny Masterson. Yeah.
No. That's who I was thinking of, Nick.
He's in a little too much trouble.
A little bit.
Spoiler alert, Miami Mike, but okay.
What an asshole.
Yeah, same time period as the original show. So.
What?
Miami Mike just spoiled. I'm not going to watch it now.
I know, right? He's dropping some history knowledge. So, all right, let's keep this show short for Mr. I got to do a Mac thing in the morning.
There's a thing coming up.
You're going to eat Big Macs? Cool.
Chris is just annoyed that I'm like making him the bad guy.
Yeah. So this show's ending early because of Chris.
Hey, you got a job to do.
I got a job to do. Can you fix this green line down?
Honestly,
he has to go delete his emails.
You can't fix your phone. He's not a.
Look at this green line. I didn't even drop the phone.
I don't care.
Don't cross the green line, man. You're gonna get squid gamed.
Here, I told you about Ted Lasso, and you don't.
Red light, Jack. Phone. Red light.
Green line.
Green light.
Red light, Jack. Right. I said red light.
Yeah. Stop or whatever.
He doesn't even know it yet. God damn it. He hasn't seen it. Shit.
That would so be so much Sherry, you work at the same fruit stand? I didn't realize that you did. So
yeah, but one of the things that
Sherry's doing an overnight tonight.
Going back to Squid Game, though, you remember there's
I don't remember.
There's a couple of characters that die because the game is supposed to be fair to all, right?
Right, right.
But then the revelation that we get towards the end of the game, mm-hmm. clearly the game was not fair for all because that one person helped his team win.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
the Patriots, they cheated.
Kind of like that. It's kind of like if Robert Kraft came down on the field. not the same store, but the same company. Interesting, Sherry. Interesting. Mm. Well, if I can interest you in some papers, boy, have I got a store for you. I'm in the middle of moving a lot of shit, so my entire body just aches. I'm just so tired. So, but we're condensing.
And we're having
down.
A shorter show because Matt wants to go to bed because he's achy poo.
So
the reason why we're cutting so short is because of Matt, not me.
You well, to be fair, I've been podcasting for like 3 hours now. So
cool. And Jack's had about 8,000 milligrams of Delta 9 gummies.
Yeah, I hear it protects you from the variant if you take enough of it.
So. His name is Ralph, man.
I'm anti-variant.
So, well, I assume that you picked up the variant while you were at the Raleigh meetup. So
could have been.
Yeah, I saw that your best friend was there. Did he give you any more drugs?
Who's that?
Drake. Wasn't Drake there?
Oh, Drake. I didn't see him. I only was there Friday.
Oh, okay.
You didn't want to participate in the reindeer games?
Well, it was one of those things where it just didn't line up.
Yeah, when you had to watch the kids too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's that. So,
yeah, no one wants to be the only sober person around a bunch of drunks, right? Am I right?
I'm not Miami Mike. You said Matt. Are you Dolph in or are you Dolph out? Oh, okay, I get it now. All right.
Yeah. Chris is just like, hey, fucking in this show. I gotta get some sleep so I can do my thing tomorrow.
I've been dolphining in and out all the time.
But Matt, who's the blame? Who's the blame here? We got Matt and Chris.
What, me? No. We're almost at an hour and 30 minutes. We made this work.
And, an hour and 21
Chris minutes. Texted us and said he wanted to end by 10:30.
Jesus, you really just want to fucking throw me?
How many blue jean jokes? How many sheep jokes?
Under the bus.
How many? I've basically been run over by a sheep bus multiple times.
And you enjoyed it.
Wheels on the bus go round and round.
The sheep go up and down, up and down.
Well,
Matt's
fine. If you enjoyed this show, and why wouldn't you?
High five, Nick.
It feels like... It's really not that funny.
You know what?
Don't stop the bus. I'm having a good time.
Jack and Nick, if I'm doing the Brady Bunch thing right, I appreciate you guys for taking this off of my shoulders and putting it back onto Matt. I do appreciate you guys are tops. Thank you.
We're there for you.
All right. Well, to close out this show, send us an email. Randy did not this
Randy
week.
Didn't send an email?
It's so weird. But I do appreciate everybody that joined us live. I don't know if the other three guys did. But thank you everyone that does join in.
Sherry drinks during the podcast. So do I.
Follow us on YouTube at Ramblecast After Dark, or Twitter because we tweet, or Instagram.
Anyway, we get up to 1,000 subscribers.
We really just need 100.
Three of us tweet
subscribers on YouTube. And then we morph into the next Pokemon, whatever that form will be. So that's what I heard.
I don't get that.
Send us an email at rcadcast@gmail.com or rate and review the show on iTunes.
Look, it's been like 4 years since anyone gave us a review.
That's true. Well, you know what? I'm putting it out there. Okay. So
you know what? Fuck off. They're not gonna give us a review.
Well, on that note, if you do like Jack telling you to fuck off, go over to jayandjack.com. He's
and give him money.
Him money because maybe he'll tell you to fuck off personally.
Or you can insert your dick here.
Speaking of inserting dicks, we would like to thank some patrons that make the show possible. Not the other guys that talk over top of me. Everybody that went to the Raleigh meetup, congratulations. Looks like you had a wonderful time. I wish I could have been there.
They made hamburgers without you.
That's fine fucking tastic to me. I don't care. Anyway, I'd like to thank some people that made this show possible.
Burgers.
Chris was too lazy to actually come up with a name for them, so I'll just like put them up here.
Tack.
Wait, what?
It's just tack.
Did you just put that on me? That you didn't do your job?
Yeah. I did. So we have Eckhart. I don't know if I spelled that name right.
That's true. Ed. A course of a horse. So
you're not thank, even. Thank you for saying all of these names.
Maggie.
Zach, Miami Mike says, if you leave a review, you get entered into a contest to win a dolphin nut t-shirt. Yeah, it's actually dolphin nut milk t-shirt. True.
Okay. Yeah.
Joanne.
Thank you all for making this show possible.
Can I just say something? Be honest with you? Can I just be
sure? Perfect? Go ahead.
I think we can be honest at this point. That was the fucking worst.
What
you've ever done? I mean,
was subpar. Actually,
there was no fucking effort in it at all.
And you blamed me.
I know. It's perfect. That part
was good.
Paper even looks low quality.
It is pretty low quality. It's just tracing paper. Maggie.
Yeah. See.
What's the three things on the side for Maggie's little Alexa?
I put in these little Adidas swooshes for Maggie. So
those are Adidas swooshes.
I don't know.
Maggie only had the swoosh.
Well, they're like little stripes. Anyway, thank you, Tack, Eckhart, Ed, Maggie, Joanne. Yeah, come back next week. Maybe we'll have some better names for you. Jack will not be here. I don't know.
I might quit.
These people pay you, Matt, and at least you can do is like give them a cool name every week.
You know what? I will tell you this much. Ed, Maggie, Eckhart, Tack, Joanne,
it's five names. How can you not
I'm just going to remove Jack because it's easier because he just talks on top of me. But I was actually thinking about this. Go ahead. Send me an email with your address. I'll send you a painting. Okay. You know, I'm sorry for not being able to have names this week.
A painting.
Yeah. I got a little small painting. I'm trying to make room. I'm moving a lot of shit around, going through a lot of.
So I want to get rid of my clap.
No, or I'll send you a postcard too. I got some really cool postcards here. They're really old school. Who doesn't want a picture of a boy with a swan?
Getting a blowjob by a swan?
That's what it looks like, actually.
He's got guys, so for all of you keeping score at home, for those of you guys keeping score at home with the Ramblecast Appledore. It was 1 hour, 26 minutes and 20 seconds to the point where Matt systematically threw himself in front of the bus to be run over and stuck under the bus. Like, it's magical how he fucking does this. Like you kind of feel bad for him for a good majority of the episode. You feel like it might be unjust against him. But then you get to the very ending of the show and he comes up and does some shit like that. And it's inevitable. Every week it happens. But this, I have to say, is probably the first into an episode we've gotten before you threw yourself into a bucket.
It's a postcard that I'm offering to the patrons. Whoever wants the whoever wants the blowjob swan postcard, send us an email with your address at rcadcast@gmail.com. It's actually from Hershey, Pennsylvania, Chocolate Town. Sure. So, enjoy. I will send that out.
It's a fucking superpower you have, dude.
Who knows?
Amazing.
It's how we make
you're like
the
forgotten Avenger.
I like Randy. Nothing like a good swan job.
I think we can call this episode Swan Job. Anyway, thanks for joining us live. Thanks for being a supporter of this podcast. We do appreciate it, even if Jack doesn't.
What are you talking about?
This was a great show. It was one this